Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's a promo that never gets old to hear.
Never.
Back-to-back-to-back AFC champions looking to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls for the first time ever.
I mean, the only thing that would make that better, right, is another back in there?
Could be, right?
Take care of this one first, though.
Four-peat? Yeah, that's the key, right, is to get set for this one, take care of the task at hand, and get this one done, and then we can look towards the future. It's After Hours here on this Thursday night. Logan Weber here with you. Producer for tonight's show is Julio Sanchez. We got a lot to talk about. We got news surrounding this Chiefs-Eagles game, Super Bowl 59, next Sunday, February 9th. And a whole lot of news, you know, coming out of the NFL. You've got, you know, Bills personnel that still want to continue to complain, and other little bits of news along the way. The Royals made a big signing last night, of course, and we'll talk about it a little bit on our program tonight. We have our text line, as always, 913-586-7965 is our number. So let's get things started with the announcement. I guess the plans were finalized yesterday. Maybe the announcement was made today for the Chiefs Super Bowl parade and what the idea is surrounding it. So this, I'm reading an article here from Fox 4 that came out earlier today. There will be, if the Chiefs do win Super Bowl 59, right? If you are superstitious, I apologize. You know, do whatever you need to do. Throw the salt over your shoulder, knock on wood. I don't know, spin around in a circle three times. I don't know. But just giving you what the news is telling me, there will be no public rally for the Kansas City Chiefs if they are to win Super Bowl 59. Of course, this all stems from the mass shooting that occurred during the Super Bowl parade at Union Station last year towards the end of the festivities. So this year, the plan is, according to a gathering, you know, or a meeting that was held by some of those within the city in power, there will be a parade that will begin at Pershing and Main. It will go to Grand, extend up Grand up onto 6th Street, and then it will more or less turn around and kind of go back a different direction from there. So there will be no stop at Union Station, no big rally for anybody. There will be an exclusive gathering at Arrowhead Stadium for players, family members, along with new Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe and the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Q, Quentin Lucas. And the gathering may be broadcast on screens along the parade route. So, yeah, players would stage near Crown Center following the Arrowhead celebration, load onto the parade, the floats, and then go from Pershing and Main to Grand and extend up Grand to 6th Street. So that'll be the parade route this time around if they win it. If they win it. Right? That's the whole premise. That's the whole premise around this is that, yeah, that's a good way of saying it. When they win it. I like that level of confidence from you. You know, that's what we do as Chiefs fans, is we look forward to the win. While it seems like a bunch of other fan bases around the NFL, they prepare for the loss and the inevitable scapegoating that they are planning. And that was the case with the Bills general manager. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see this. Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, was asked during an end-of-season press conference earlier today about the fourth down and one stop that the Chiefs had late in that game in the fourth quarter. You know, they went for the tush push on fourth and one, and there's been controversy around it, right? The team, the people that already have a set opinion and hate the Chiefs because they win are saying, oh, it's rigged. The refs are in the Chiefs' pocket. And then, of course, those of us in Chiefs Kingdom who know football say, no, he just didn't. There was no angle of it, right? I think it's important to tell everybody that on that play, the ruling on the field was that he was short. They reviewed it. There was not enough video evidence to overturn it because there was no real angle of where the football was in relevance to the plane, in relevance to the first down marker, to determine that he was over the line.
No definitive.
No, there was not enough proof.
Yeah.
And when the play on the field is called as he is short, they need definitive evidence, overwhelming evidence to overturn the call on the field. They didn't. And so they called it as it stands on the field. If they had said confirmed, then video evidence confirmed he didn't get it. If they had said overturned, video evidence determined, confirmed that he did get the first down.
Can I ask you this?
Yes.
Do you think if the roles were reversed, do you think Chiefs fans would be in an uproar had they given him that first down?
Some.
I don't think so.
Some,
and it definitely
right?
wouldn't be to the level that the Bills fans have taken it to. Right?
I agree with you. I think that there are some who would have thrown a
it's
fit. There's always a small sect of fans in any fan base that's going to be, you know, up in arms and they want the torches and pitchforks and they're going to go burn the NFL offices to the ground over something, as minute and minuscule as it might be. So, yeah, there were going to be some in Chiefs Kingdom that would do that. But for the most part, no. I don't think that's the case, especially after, you know, all of the hoopla and the media mayhem and the, let's face it. And I like the way that Nick Wright put it earlier this week on his podcast. It was poor journalism, unprofessional Agreed. Journalism on the yeah. parts of a lot of these talking heads and voices across it. Social media. I mean, for somebody like Adam Schefter to do what he did and like launch a personal attack from his Twitter account regarding Patrick Mahomes and the rules, that's disgusting levels of behavior. I mean, like he is, in terms of NFL Twitter, there is no bigger voice and no bigger tweet to read than one from Adam Schefter during the day.
Journalism,
and for
100%.
him to take that approach to it, I think was awful, awful sort of behavior and completely unprofessional in that manner. But going back to the original part of this story, Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, was asked about that fourth down and short play. And he said, I think he got it. I will always believe that he got it and this and that and the other. And great. Let's just continue to put kerosene on this fire that nobody should have started. I just can't fathom what we're doing here. And it's funny, you know, you've got these people you've got people across media, whether it be from the Bills or from just national media pundits talking about all of this stuff. And then you've got people on Twitter that are like, I'm not watching the Chiefs anymore. They were saying it before the game even started, right, against the Bills in the AFC title game. I'm not watching this game. Oh, well, it was the most watched NFL game that wasn't a Super Bowl ever. Where are we going with this now? Where's the next step? Obviously, you're a liar. You are watching. You can hate it, but you're watching. I mean, come on, folks. Don't you can lie to yourselves. Don't lie to us. You're gonna watch. Whether that's because you want to watch the game, or maybe it's a hate watch. I don't know, but you're watching regardless, aren't you? And you're gonna watch the Super Bowl. I guarantee you. All these people on social media. I'm done. I'm not watching the Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah, you will.
We'll see what happens come February 9th. You degenerate. You're going to watch the Super Bowl. Another bit of news that came out today, they released some of the, I guess you could say, mic'd up sort of footage of the Chiefs-Bills AFC title game. And there was that little interaction near midfield after the game ended between Mahomes and Josh Allen, in which Josh Allen had a pretty simple message to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Said, go get another one. That's the sort of behavior that I can appreciate.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's upset he lost the game, right? And this goes back, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like Patrick Mahomes has always handled himself correctly either, right? Last season, when the Bills beat the Chiefs, Pat did not handle himself in the right manner at midfield of that game, right? Making excuses, complaining about the officiating at that moment. That was wrong on his part. And I think that it would be unfair of us as Chiefs Kingdom to not acknowledge that that was wrong. But for us to now just accept the way that general managers and head coaches and high profile players on every single team are saying this, not at midfield during a private sort of, you know, moment between two guys out there on the football field. And I mean, and somewhat in an intimate space in that manner, right? Where it's just two guys trying, you know, Pat, you know, they're just sort of saying good game to one another. And Pat said something in the spur of the moment that he had later apologized for, and that's fine. But for guys to, like, after a game or at an end of season press conference 4 to 5 days after that game to still be doing this, that's just, it's not professional behavior in any sense of the word. But for Josh to do it, to handle it the way that he handled it, a guy who has as big an excuse as anybody to say nothing but bad things about Patrick Mahomes and say, you know, meet him at midfield and say, hey, good game, I hope you lose by 30, right? He has every right to do that. I wouldn't blame him for doing that, but he didn't, because he's a consummate professional. He handles himself in the correct manner, and he's a hell of a football player. So, I mean, really give him a lot of kudos for the way that he handled that situation, because I mean, I would despise Patrick Mahomes if I was Josh Allen.
Well, they are. I mean, it's fairly well known, right, that those guys are cool off the field, right? They do the whole golf thing, you know, play together. You know, they're boys to a certain degree, right, off the field.
So right.
While they're on the field, right, they're both competitors. I think off the field, they have both on the field and off the field, they have a level of respect for each other that I think it's a healthy rivalry. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that piece. There's also, you know, I'm thinking as Josh Allen, like, they had their shot at the end. Like, they had their shot at the end. They had the ball, winning drive. You lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had your shot. That not getting that fourth down does not account for you not at least getting a field goal on that last drive.
Right.
I mean, the opportunity was there and he failed.
Yes.
There's nothing left to say. Like if that call were the last drive of the game, I maybe have a little bit different view, but that's not the case.
Right.
So,
and that wasn't the only fourth down that they failed to convert, right? They failed a couple of fourth downs earlier in the game.
It was pretty close every time they ran that play. The Chiefs had their number on that play.
Yeah.
And they continued to run that play.
You failed 2 2-point conversions, one after you had already made an extra point and took a point off the board for yourself and went for two, didn't get it. That forced you on your next touchdown drive to have to go for two again, and you didn't get it.
Chasing points.
That's a 5-point swing.
It's a choice.
You made a choice, and that is what swayed that game in the Chiefs' favor in a lot of respects. It wasn't one fourth down and one with a, yeah, okay, you look at one angle of it, and it looks like his head is past the first down marker. That's all well and good. But where his head is not in proportion to where the football is.
Well, and
it's all
and,
about where the football is.
And not only did they fail to score on the Bills' last drive, but defensively, stop the Chiefs. You get a little bit of time left on that clock, you have another shot. They didn't do that either. So, I mean, again, we can complain about this all we want. I think there was like 13 minutes left, 12 minutes left, something like that for that when that call mm-hmm. had happened. You had plenty of time. You had plenty of plays. You had plenty of opportunities between then and the end of the game. And bottom line is, you know, you choked.
You didn't make enough plays.
You didn't do what you needed to do.
Couldn't agree more, Julio. They just simply did not make enough plays. But, you know, there's a stat that I knew these two stats separately, but they hadn't clicked together in my head yet. Here's when I talk about, you know, Josh Allen of all people has every reason to loathe Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is now 4-0 against Josh Allen in the postseason, right? We all know that. Widely held stat. You know, which is so out of the ordinary, you know, the Buffalo Bills to be 0-4 in, you know, a high high pressure situation like that. Just so unlike them in that respect. Never expected that from the
see what you did there.
From the Buffalo Bills, but the Buffalo's Bills, I guess you could call them.
Ouch.
But Josh Allen is 0-4 against Mahomes in the playoffs. So Josh Allen has more postseason losses to Patrick Mahomes then Patrick Mahomes has total postseason losses. He's only lost 3 postseason games in 20 starts. Josh Allen's 0-4 against Mahomes. that's awful. Like, I, that stat alone, if I was Josh Allen, it would be like, yeah, that dude is public enemy number one to me for the rest of time.
And I believe, what, is it two of the three were in overtime? So really, he only lost one game in regulation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He only lost one, and that was the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah. Which that was we don't talk about that one. Yeah, we don't. It's, you know, I'm gonna take my Encanto phrase and say we don't talk about Bruno on that one. Oh man, well that was not a great way to end. How did we get to the Buccaneers Super Bowl? That was a terrible way to end the segment. Take a look at our text line again. It's 913-586-7965. I got one from an 816 here. Says turnover on downs are basically turnovers. Yeah, absolutely. Really? Right. They don't count against the overall statistics. Right. If you just look at the box score, the Chiefs actually turned the ball over more than the Chiefs did. But Buffalo failed a couple of fourth downs during the course of the game, which kind of swayed things in the Chiefs' favor. You also took points off the board. You had an extra point, took the penalty, went for two, didn't get it, had to go for two again, didn't get it. 816 also said two dropped INTs and four fumbled balls that they didn't lose.
It could have gotten a lot worse for them.
It was like a game of basketball. They got every bounce.
Yes.
Every loose 100%. Ball. Brian Cook drops two interceptions on the first drive of the football game. And then Josh Allen or somebody for the Bills puts the ball on the turf on four separate occasions, including that one where it was the quarterback sneak and he kind of got over the top of everybody and lost it in the pile. And George Karloftis was upset because he thought the Chiefs had recovered it, but they determined that they hadn't. You know, the one where Chris Jones comes across and sort of swipes down on his arm and jars the ball. Josh Allen is actively being thrown to the ground and just like sticks his hand out and picks the ball up. All of those are situations where they could have lost the football and changed this game even more in the Chiefs' favor. I got one from a 913 here. Says, do you think Mahomes will ever play dodgeball at the Pro Bowl? I'll be honest with you. I sure hope not,
right?
I really do not. I hope not. And I don't mean that in the sense that like he never makes a Pro Bowl again, obviously, because I think he should make the Pro Bowl every year. This year probably wasn't the year for it, but I digress. No, I hope he never gets to play dodgeball in the Pro Bowl. I hope he never gets to go to the Pro Bowl ever, because we're in the Super Bowl every year. Is that a realistic possibility? No, but nobody thought getting to three straight Super Bowls after winning the first two was a realistic possibility either, because it took 60 years since the AFL-NFL merger for something like this to happen. So I guess you never say never in a situation like that. We've got a lot of other messages that I want to get to here. 913-586-7965 is our number. Got a lot more to talk about here on After Hours with Logan Weber and Julio Sanchez on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
That's a pretty fitting song to start this segment. I mean, what a wild month of January, I have to say. At least for me personally, you know, Julio, because of course my first day here officially, you know, as an employee of 96.5 and Odyssey was January 1st. Being from Kansas City, you know, it was kind of a dream come true to come home and do the sorts of things that I was doing. And I've had some really cool opportunities here in my first month. I've hosted this show on numerous occasions. I think this is the third time that you and I have done at least this right. show together on Thursday nights. And this has been such a cool experience. I've done Sunday mornings on this show. Most recently, I had a chance both this past Sunday and the previous Sunday to do postgame. I hosted the postgame show for the extended coverage here on 96.5 for the Chiefs divisional round win against the Texans and for the AFC championship game. And I mean, never thought, like as a kid growing up, and it's funny, I was talking to Dan Weinbaum before the show started. Dan does a lot of news over on KNBC, or KNBZ, excuse me. He was on Channel 9 for most of my childhood, I will say that. I remember recall him doing a lot of the news when I was a kid growing up in the Metro. But, you know, like being 16 years old and dreaming about doing something like this, but in my tiny little hometown that I grew up in of Lawson, Missouri, which is about 2,500 people, right? Small class two school, everybody knows everybody kind of thing. Never thought that it would be possible for me to end up in this seat. And to be here is so cool. You know, so many, you know, life experiences just in this month here. You know, I'm saying this to I had mentioned, I've been talking about it last week. My wife and I have been looking for a house. A lot of house searching, a lot of tours, a lot of open houses and things. We've looked at, you know, close to 30 homes, I would say, in the last 2.5 weeks. So, you know, we looked at 15 houses between Saturday and Friday and Saturday of this last week. It was a lot. There was a lot going on. And, you know, we found one that we liked. We made an offer on it. We are now pending on that. So who knows? You know, hopefully we'll be able to close and get this thing in escrow pretty quick. But it is a process, dude. Closing costs. I almost fainted at the prospect of what the closing costs are going to look like for this thing. But it's awesome. I mean, we've been living. Yeah, I appreciate that. We've been living in Springfield for like 4 years, and We always lived in apartments because it was never felt like this was going to be a permanent location for us. Growing up in this area, we always thought if we could get back to Kansas City, we're buying a house because this is where we want to be. This is where we want to stay. And this sort of feels like it's really the first time we're ever really putting down roots anywhere that we've ever lived as a couple. And we've been together for a decade. So, I mean, that's saying a whole lot.
Man, let me just tell you, just speaking from experience, you know, I love home ownership. Not always what it's cracked up to be.
Fair.
So just be ready for the what comes with it. The good and the bad.
Right.
You know?
Everything's on you, right? Thing, right? The toilet stops working. Right. The water heater goes out. You know,
you're
whatever it is.
Things that you never thought were possible.
Hey,
let me just tell you, that's
the plan, right? My dad is very like electrical sort of work. He loves to do that sort of stuff. So I've got him, my father and my brother-in-law are both very we've built two houses as a family. So very, very cognizant and aware of those sorts of things. So we've got a lot of support around us, which is pretty exciting. But you know, the sort of end all be all, the way to kind of encapsulate my first month here at 96.5 and all that's gone with it, you know, buying a home and moving back home for the first, for the first time since I was 18 years old. When I was a college student at Northwest Missouri State, I hosted a show most afternoons, sort of like from noon to 2 o'clock, you know, for our student radio station. And then from 2 until I had to go do something else, I would turn on the radio and I would listen to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, right? I would listen to CDOT almost every day when I was a college student, especially once I got into sports media and radio and kind of knew this was my niche and what I wanted to do. Well, tomorrow CDOT is going to be off and I have got the opportunity to host.
They gave you the keys, huh?
They gave me the keys to do The Drive tomorrow for Carrington to kind of close out my first month here at 96.5. So I appreciate it's wild to me. Like I said, I mean, I listened to that, you know, kind of like later in high school. And then when I was in college, I would listen to CDOT all the time. So it was like, it was one thing to work with him, right? It was one thing to work at a station that I grew up listening to. And then to get an opportunity to fill in for him on his show is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Like I could imagine like going to 17, 18, 19 year old Logan and trying to explain that to him. And he would be like, buddy, come on. Like, no, I don't believe you.
Well, you know, I will say to your credit and, you know, I've been here for a while. You know, a lot of people don't see the amount of effort that goes into this, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, I've been doing this for a long time too. You know, you don't get paid a lot of money. You do it because you love it, right? There's a lot of working for free. There's a lot of late nights. There's a lot of early mornings. You know, you're doing Royals games till all hours of the night. You know, you have no life. You're doing things for free for the station. I mean, you're just trying to get your foot in the door.
Right.
And then, this business, a lot of it is longevity, right? It's you're doing things that people that don't want to do, right? You're doing the hours that people don't want to do just to stay relevant and in the game. So congratulations to you. And I know, you know, you're moving outside of a Springfield market. Again,
right.
You don't get paid. It's not a normal environment for you. You get to move back home, and that's, you know, that's just a testament to the hard work that you've put in, right? And it's finally paying off after 10 years of putting work into this business. So, it's not unearned, right? So I just want people to understand that this is, you created this opportunity for yourself. So congratulations.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I'll say, you know, it's hard work. Yeah. But you love, right?
Also,
is it hard work if you love doing it?
If you don't do it, someone else is going to do it, right? You know?
Somebody's going to snatch that one up.
We're lucky.
Such a big, you know, that's such a different sort of dynamic.
Yeah, you say that tomorrow once the text line gets a hold of you, though.
Oh, no question about it. You know, I'm looking at the text line right now. Our number is 913-586-7965. I got a 620 says here, I'm normally a daytime listener. I will put your ass through the paces tomorrow.
Starting.
He followed up with an LOL, just kidding. But, you know, you do what you got to do, man. I'm used to it. You know,
that
Springfield market, it's smaller, but let me tell you, they are vocal. If they don't like what you're saying, they're going to let you know about it pretty early. I got a 913 says, so you live 3 hours away right now? No, I technically don't. My wife is still based out of Springfield right now. Her job doesn't transfer until March. So she's still living down in Springfield at our apartment with our two cats. I'm more of a dog guy, but we have two cats. I'm not going to argue with her.
Happy wife, right? Yes, exactly.
The point. But I am currently living at the moment, you know, just sort of staying at my parents' house until she can get moved up or until we can close on this home.
Being your age, living with your wife for so long, moving back in with the parents, that's got to be an experience.
It's a dynamic for sure. I mean, I'm 26, almost 27 years old. But, you know, from my perspective, it's better than if we would have bought the house back in November and closed in December so that I could have moved in January 1st. And then we're paying a mortgage and rent.
Right, yeah.
It just didn't make a lot of sense, especially because of right now it's a lot of part-time fill-in work like we were talking about before. So to kind of ease the burden there a little bit, living with my parents, it's quite a trek. It's about an hour that I'm driving, you know, depending on traffic to work every day. So no, not necessarily. I'm not living 3 hours away. My wife still lives in Springfield. So that's just where we're coming from. I'm living with mom and dad right outside the metro, which, yeah, it is what it is, right? I mean, I kind of just do what needs to be done. We watch TV and movies together and do the things. But yeah, to go from living in your own space with your wife and it's your life, you're going about your business to I'm in my almost in my late 20s at this point, right? Coming around on 27, I'll turn next month. And
on the downhill of your 20s. You
yeah,
know.
Living with mom and dad. But it's a situation where it was what was best for us. I'm broke and I have nothing. You know, I just got to go back with mom and dad because I have nothing. I'm just trying to, like you said, get my foot in the door here, make a name for myself, get myself in front of people, get my voice to the listener and you guys, which I really do appreciate. I got one from a 913 here, says, congrats on getting this opportunity to host The Drive. He said, you're the radio version of Devin Neal.
Not sure how to take that. You know?
I'm not sure what it means either. I'm going to take it as a positive because Devin Neal was
a choice, you know,
1,000-yard rusher 3 times at the University of Kansas. So I believe that's a nice one. 816 says, you know, my buddy Taylor Dameron. Yes, I do know Taylor. He was a few years older than me. He was a senior when I was, I believe, an 8th grader. And then he went a little bit longer at school at Northwest, or may have lived in Maryville during my freshman year of college. But yes, I am familiar with Taylor. We're both, you know, we both kind of in this business, you know, very similar in a lot of respects. So yes, very familiar with good old Taylor Dameron, massive individual. Big dude. He's like 6'7". I mean, like super tall dude, especially like
you meant vertical, you know?
Yeah. He's very, very tall. And especially in like my hometown of like 2,500 people, like anybody above the height of 6'3", it's like, it's a giant among men sort of a thing, you know, immediately like do you play basketball? Sort of a thing. That same number that 913 says, meaning he grew up a Jayhawk football fan and then led the team. Yeah. I mean, I grew up listening to this station, of course, back when it was Sports Radio 610. And, you know, I can remember
it wasn't, but
I can remember doing a tour of this place. The first time I ever came in here, I was a college student at Northwest and I was mesmerized by this building. And now that it's my workspace every day, it's nuts. It's nuts to think about, like, even 5 years ago when I was a college student doing a tour of this place, I never imagined that I would be a part of it. I felt like at the time, you know, as a 21-year-old kid, I'm on the outside looking in, and to be on the inside of it looking out is insane to be here. I mean, I couldn't be more grateful for it. I just wanted to kind of throw that out and kind of walk myself through the month of January, which has been completely insane and not what I expected when I started here. Pretty crazy. 816 says B-E-A-R. That's right. C-A-T-S. Bearcats. Bearcats. Go Bearcats. All right. We got a lot more to get to here on After Hours here on this Thursday, January 30th. Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Ooh, folks, I don't know if this is a concern for many, but if you're planning on buying Super Bowl advertising time for Fox,
what's it up
for next Sunday's game, I would stray away for the moment. According to an article from CNBC, Fox has sold out of their ad spots, so you don't have to worry about buying it if you haven't already.
Not available.
But they have sold more than 10 commercial spots at over $8 million a piece. I don't know if that's a 30-second spot or a 60-second spot. Regardless, $8 million is a lot to shell out for a commercial. And that's not even counting the production value and the budget for creating the commercial itself.
You got to come big with a Super Bowl commercial.
So, I mean, it's a Super Bowl commercial. You can't come in soft. Yeah, $8 million a piece. I'm trying to sit here and think of, you know, some of the most memorable Super Bowl commercials that you can remember. You know, Julio, you and I can kind of discuss this a little bit. If you would like to chime in, feel free to send us a message on our text line, 913-586-7965. I'm thinking back, what was it? Was it Tubi? Was it a Tubi commercial a couple years ago that made it seem like the channel had changed, and then everybody in America quickly started to panic and look for their TV remotes?
Yeah, I
think it was a Tubi commercial, but I can't say for certain, or maybe like YouTube TV or something. Super creative. It irritated everybody, but everybody remembers that commercial now. Remember the old school Doritos commercials, right? My favorite's the one of like the boyfriend comes over to the house and the little kids like, you know, smacks the kid. Yeah, don't touch my, I got two rules. Number one, don't touch my mama. Number two, don't touch my Doritos. Exactly. I got one right here in the text line. 816 says, don't touch my mama. Don't touch my Doritos. There was also the time machine commercial that Doritos did.
That was a good. Were you old enough to remember the frogs, the Budweiser frogs?
I do not. I remember a lot of the Clydesdale sort of commercials, but I don't remember the frogs.
Classic.
I'm trying to think back to some of the other, the E-Trade babies. Those were always a hit on Super Bowl Sunday.
What's up?
Yep, the Super Bowl babies did such a good job with those commercials. Are there any that like you can vividly remember off the top of your head?
I'm trying to think. You're putting me on the spot here. The E-Trade one, that was the talking babies,
Yeah, the E-Trade
right?
Talking babies were some of the best. Oh.
Wasn't there one with like Betty White where she was like, I think it was like a Snickers commercial or something where she tackled somebody or she
the hangry sort of commercials that
Betty
they did.
White.
Yeah, the E-Trade baby in 2010. the Old Spice commercial in 2010 where like the guy was like half human, half horse, right? That was one of the, like the first time they ever introed him, and that became like a big thing. There have been some absolutely phenomenal ones. 620 here says Coca-Cola has had some good ones over the years. Absolutely. That one, the puppy monkey baby.
That was so weird. That one was just so strange.
What company was that? Was that recently? Well, I don't remember that one off the top of my head.
Like 5 years or something like that. I can't remember who it was, but that one was just creepy. I'm
trying to think. They both said it at like the exact same time. They both said puppy monkey baby. Oh, it was the Mountain Dew commercial. It was probably 10 years ago, I would say. Somewhere like 2015, 2016, 2017, the puppy monkey baby. Yeah, where the guys are drinking Mountain Dew.
Is it that long ago?
Yeah.
Old, man. We're old.
Yeah, it says 2016. It was Super Bowl 50 was that commercial. That was a weird one. That was the Mountain Dew kickstart. Good Lord. Mountain Dew. Is that even still a thing? Like, I can't imagine Mountain Dew kickstart still around.
I'm not a big Mountain Dew guy, but I don't think so.
I admittedly am a massive Mountain Dew fan. It is my favorite drink. Mountain Dew, I'm a huge fan of yellow Gatorade. Big yellow Gatorade guy. So those are kind of my two go-tos in that respect, but I could never really get into the kickstart sort of thing. It was supposed to be like a breakfast energy drink thing that Mountain Dew did. That just never really hit for me. Just give me my normal citrus Mountain Dew, and I think we can roll. You want to throw a voltage in there every once in a while was fine. The Clydesdale football game with the streaking goat. I do remember that one. I do recall that commercial. There have been some solid ones. I will say, you know, in the last couple of years, there's been like a few here and there that have been good, but I like for my money, like when I was a kid, you know, in the 2000s and even into the 2010s, it felt like there were consistently good commercials. Nowadays, it feels like there's one or two good ones, and then there's a smattering of like five or six not so good ones or very forgettable sort of commercials that are mixed in there.
There was the old Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. Look what I can do. Remember that? Bouncing it off the walls and all kinds of crazy
shots. That was the McDonald's commercial, wasn't it? They were playing horse for his McDonald's. That's a good one. That's a real, I'm a little bit too young to remember that one. I've seen it
way earlier,
but I'm not old enough to really remember that one. And 816 says the Budweiser with the yellow labs, right? The dogs. And then the polar bear Coke commercials are always solid. Have to completely agree. So that's a fair sentiment. Continue to send us some of your favorite Super Bowl commercials that you've seen over the years, as they are selling these commercials at somewhat of more than $8 million a piece. That's absolutely insane. We'll take a short break. Be right back with you. This is After Hours with Logan Weber and Julio Sanchez on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Well, the Super Bowl is still about 10 days away, but we've already got some injury news that's coming out about these two teams. Chiefs had a couple of limited participants in practice today, one of which was right tackle Juwan Taylor. I don't know if that's more of like a precautionary sort of thing. We're waiting to see if we have some more information on that that'll come out maybe tomorrow or in the upcoming days. Second bit of news, there's some interest behind it, some intrigue, but I'm not reading into it too much. The Kansas City Chiefs have officially designated Sky Moore off of IR. They have opened up his 21-day practice window. He was a limited participant in practice today for Kansas City. Do I think that means he'll be on the 53-man roster and playing in the Super Bowl? No. Not even the slightest iota that he plays in that game. And that's, you know, I don't mean to denigrate or you know, talk ill or speak ill of Sky Moore, but it just hasn't worked, right? I mean, he's caught one touchdown in his NFL career since being drafted in 2022.
It was a big touchdown.
It was against the Philadelphia Eagles, if we recall.
In the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl.
That's right.
That's the only touchdown of his career. He played in, you know, close to half a dozen games for Kansas City this year. Did not register a catch. He was only targeted three times, I think, the entire season. In my opinion, this is just, you know, sort of pure unadulterated speculation and what I'm predicting, sort of putting my Nostradamus hat on and, you know, fondling my crystal ball. I
could use a different word.
That's probably not the word I would have used. Yeah, I was trying to find a different word, but that was the one
that... Keep it going, you know? Keep it going.
We'll just move past it, right? Act like it didn't happen? No. I am of the belief that I'm not sure we'll ever see Sky Moore in a Chiefs uniform again.
No. I mean, look, he's been given opportunities, and I think, right, if anyone is going to be able to bring out the best in you as far as having a specific skill set, right, it's Andy Reid. He's been given the opportunities to prove what he's gotten, and it hasn't worked out. And, you know, I hope someone else picks him up and he gets another opportunity, but do I ever see him kind of living up to the billing of a second round draft pick? Unfortunately, I don't see it.
Yeah. And with the Chiefs having seemingly, at least as of right now, right, based on what we've seen on the field, I think it's fair to say the Chiefs have hit on their last two wide receiver picks with Rashee Rice back in 2023 and Xavier Worthy, excuse me, back in this last draft in 2024. The need for Sky Moore has dwindled a little bit, right? There's a decision the Chiefs will have to make in the offseason if they want to bring DeAndre Hopkins back, or if they want to bring Hollywood Brown back, or if they want to bring Juju back, or maybe a combination of those guys. I don't know, right? Mecole Hardman, what do you do there? Justin Watson, do the Chiefs go after and try to grab another wide receiver? Because I will say this is a pretty deep wide receiver class. It's very top heavy with elite sort of talent, right? With Emeka Ogbuka and Isaiah Bond and guys like that. And then there's a bit of a dip, but there are, I think, some guys that could be productive in the league for a long time that you could nab in the second or the third round. Very similar to this past year.
That's been proven, you know, over probably the last 5 years or so. I mean, you can get good receivers, second, third, fourth, fifth round.
No question.
They're there. I mean, the skill sets of wide receivers now, I think of any position, can come into the league being a later draft pick and have one of the bigger impacts on your roster.
No question about it. So I'm not reading into that one in any stretch of the imagination. On the flip side for the Eagles, another one that I'm not reading too much into, Brandon Graham is back with the team. He was taken off of IR as well. There is some increasing optimism that he might be able to play for Philadelphia next Sunday. But at the time of his injury, he had said, my season's done, right? He had already said prior to the start of the season that this was going to be his final year in professional football. He was going to retire at the end of the year. So maybe this is an opportunity to get him on the 53-man roster and then say if, you know, Lord forbid, the Eagles can get a handy lead in the fourth quarter, then maybe you throw Brandon Graham in for a few snaps and let him kind of walk out as a Super Bowl champion knowing that he played in the game and whatever else sort of a thing.
It could just be gamesmanship where, you know, it's one additional thing the Chiefs have to maybe account for and
could
have to spend time game planning on.
It could be, but I mean, this Eagles team is...
They're loaded up front.
Their defensive line is incredibly talented.
Yep.
They are incredibly talented across the board, and they've got a ton of depth with Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, and the list goes on and on with what they've got on that front four. So do you need Brandon Graham?
No.
I don't think so. This seems like the sort of thing that you put him on the 53, man. You let him dress. You let him be out there on the field for the Super Bowl because it is, according to him anyway, his last hurrah. Now, because of the injury, maybe he's changed his stance on that. I'm not entirely sure, but those are a couple of interesting little news and notes coming out today surrounding this Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. In other NFL news, not sure what to make.
Other things going on in the NFL?
There are other things. Okay. You know, I will say, you know, while these two guys haven't played and coached together in 5 years, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick seemingly always are in the news together when it comes to the National Football League. So Bill Belichick, I guess, he was on a show or a podcast or something, and he is suggesting, yeah, he was on the Let's Go podcast. He was talking about how in the game of football, coaches don't win Super Bowls. Players win Super Bowls, right? He says, players win games. You can't win games without good players, right? That's a direct quote. Later said, quote, I don't care who the coach is. It's impossible. You can't win without good players. I found that out when I had, you know, guys like Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks and the guys he coached with the New York Giants. And then, later with Brady and Willie McGinnis and Rodney Harrison and the guys he had with the Patriots. He's like, I didn't score any touchdowns. I didn't make any tackles. I didn't make any kicks, you know. So he said, you've got to have good players. And as a coach, you want to give your players a chance to win. That's what he was saying. And the guy that was hosting the show suggested or pointed out, he's like, well, yeah, coach, I get that, but you know, it's called the Lombardi Trophy, right? It's named after a coach. To which Bill Belichick responded with, well, maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. He won seven of them.
He won seven of them. Is this maybe a little self-reflection on Bill Belichick's part on how things ended in New England?
Is Belichick finally putting it to bed, right? Is he finally acknowledging the argument that, you know, he needed Brady more than Brady needed him finally? Are we finally coming to grips with that, Bill?
I think we all came to that conclusion already. It's nice to see that maybe he's now come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I would say as well.
Right.
But I do disagree. I mean, for no other reason than just the way it sounds, right? The Brady Trophy. The Lombardi Trophy.
It doesn't have the same ring.
It just rolls off the Lombardi Trophy. It just sounds exquisite.
Well, and it's been too soon, right? Not enough time has gone by for Brady. He's still in the media. He's still like, well, while he is the GOAT, maybe it's a little too early to start naming trophies after him.
Yeah.
As of now.
There's just something, the Brady Trophy.
It doesn't sound good off the tongue.
It sounds like
it doesn't roll very well off the tongue.
It sounds like the trophy that would have been won if the Brady Bunch had a Thanksgiving Day family football game, like a backyard two-hand touch game. It just doesn't sound, the Lombardi Trophy, it just exudes a level of reverence.
But it's had time to like,
yeah,
it's got a historical meaning behind it. We've had time to reflect. He had such an impact so early on in the game. Like I said, it's just time. Got to give it a little bit more time to soak it all in and see how truly great he is. It probably doesn't help that Mahomes now is maybe getting pretty close, right?
Could be.
Some would say he's better.
I mean, some would say I am some, at least as of this moment. I think he will.
You're just saying.
I would say it's more of a hypothetical from my standpoint of like, this is where he's at 29, which we've never seen before. Where is it going to continue to go, right? Even if it's half as good as it has the first 7 years have been, if the next 7 years are half as good, if he wins next Sunday, he wins four Super Bowls in 7 years. If he wins two more in the next 7 years, he's got six. And he, you know, goes out and wins Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP next Sunday. He's got four Super Bowl MVPs, which is as many as Brady has. That's more than Montana has, right? The argument becomes a little bit more tangible, I guess, in some respects. But there's just something about, like, you know, yes, I know Brady won seven Super Bowls, right? And six of them with the Patriots. I get that. He's won more Super Bowls than anybody. But Lombardi coached and won the first two. So there's something of like a historical aspect of the trophy and its naming rights, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Like, are you going to call, is the AFC Championship game, is that trophy going to be called the Kraft Trophy now?
Sounds terrible too.
No, it's the Clark Hunt Trophy it's the Lamar Hunt Trophy because Lamar Hunt was a major factor in going, you know, taking the AFL to the NFL with the merger. He's the one who suggested the naming of the Super Bowl. And who cares what the trophy's called? Everybody just calls it the Super Bowl trophy anyway.
Right.
I mean, how many people, like even like real hardcore NFL fans, would be like, oh, the Lombardi Trophy, instead of just saying the Super Bowl trophy? Well, yeah, they won the Super Bowl.
And okay. I'm going to be honest, from like a selfish standpoint, like we've gotten ours as Chiefs fans, right? But like, it's been too soon to where, thinking back on that New England era, I still hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
I like Tom Brady as a player. You respect the hell out of
him. Right. Respect him as an organization, but hate him.
Everything that went on, like all the winning, like as a Chiefs fan, I love it. I appreciate it now. But also, I still hate the Patriots. I still hate that whole dynasty. Like, I still have a little ill will towards it. So, no, No, not right now. Too soon.
Right, exactly. Too soon. And I think that's where the biggest distinction is being made between the way that the Chiefs and those of us in Chiefs Kingdom are being treated now is they hate us because we were winning, right? The same way we did with the Patriots. But we also would acknowledge, like, what they're doing is extraordinary, right? There's a level of respect to it. You still don't like it, but you respect what they're doing and the talent in which they're doing it in. Hey. I don't feel like there's a lot of respect being had for the Kansas City Chiefs and its players, its coaches, its front office, and especially the fans. There's not a lot of respect being doled out to Chiefs Kingdom from the other 31 fan bases.
Well, and let's also maybe throw in a couple of those Deflategate situations, the taping of the team. Like, there's some other things that were involved with Spygate. You know what I'm saying?
You had some players with some pretty serious off the field issues. Yeah. We won't go any further than that. All right, that'll do it for hour one here on After Hours. We've got another one coming up. We're with you till 9 o'clock. Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. The back-to-back-to-back AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan, KFNZ-FM and AM, HD1 and HD2 Kansas City, in Odyssey Sports Station.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.